My guest today is Jadev Kunjer. Jadev, how are you?
Very good. Thank you, David.
It's great to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Hold your microphone a little bit higher
okay.
there. Thanks.
There you go.
And you and I used to work together.
At Avanade.
In Avanade doing Biz Talk. Remember that?
And integration, yeah.
We were the good,
the good old days.
It was called the integration team, but most of what we did was Biz Talk.
Correct.
And you're still doing integration.
That's correct.
But it's not all Biz Talk anymore, is it?
No, it's not. I think, Microsoft's integration platform has now opened, a whole new avenue for us. We can solve, problems that are, cloud specific. Mm-hmm. We can solve problems that are hybrid, cloud and on-premise or on-premise only. With the new, with Logic Apps and Azure Functions, Service Bus, API Management, it's given us a whole new tool set to solve some of the integration challenges that were, before we were using BizTalk and WCF and .NET to solve.
Okay, and so there's a lot of tools out there that we can choose from. Let's go through some of them, just the capabilities. And we'll start with BizTalk, which has been around, 20 years?
Yeah, I think since probably 2000.
2000 was,
the first
BizTalk toolkit.
Right.
Remember that?
Right. That was the first time it was released.
And then they had the other.
I think we're dating ourselves here,
It was a good time. The BizTalk server came out, and it had Visio integrated into that first version of it, and then the second version integrated into .NET.
Exactly.
Into Visual Studio,
BizTalk 2004 was when it completely, turned things around because we now could use Visual Studio it was .NET and we had the power of Visual Studio to do development, so it was a big turning point, and that's when a lot of people adopted BizTalk. And
I think it's a lot of people that just don't know what BizTalk is. Can you give us the
So BizTalk is Microsoft's middleware platform, and it's an integration platform. It comes with adapters that you can use to connect to SAP, to different IBM mainframe systems. Mm-hmm. It's got the ability to do batch processing, heavy transactional processing. You can also scale it very effectively. It has this publish subscribe capability, so it's basically a messaging platform where you have publishers and subscribers, and typically used to handle hundreds of thousands of transactions a day. And it's quite popular in the healthcare field. You have HIPAA HL7 where they use BizTalk. It's also very popular in the banking area because it has a Swift accelerator for Swift. It's used in the insurance industry. So it's wherever you need, transactional processing, that's when it does a really good job.
It's really for getting disparate systems to communicate with one another.
Exactly.
So if there's some reason there, it's hard to communicate or not practical to communicate directly.
Correct.
You would send message to BizTalk, and the other system would pick it up from BizTalk.
Correct. Exactly. So the other aspect of BizTalk, which is very popular, is it's used as an enterprise service bus, which is a SOA pattern,
service-oriented
architecture pattern. So the enterprise service bus allows you to have on-ramps and off-ramps where the person requesting the service doesn't really know where the service resides. They would post a request on the on-ramp, and the service bus takes care of routing that request, security, and all the other aspects. And so the benefit of this is the endpoint users are not impacted when things change. The service bus takes care of the change, and it also allows you to have some of the other capabilities that you want from an infrastructure, that is the management capabilities, the monitoring capabilities, tracking capabilities, right, the load balancing, scaling, all of that comes as part of the service bus. And Microsoft has something called the ESB toolkit, which
is the
Enterprise Service Bus toolkit, which allows you to implement a lot of very powerful capabilities on top of BizTalk, and you can do exception handling for one, which is quite a common capability. Then they have something called itineraries. Okay,
itineraries,
I'm not
okay.
pronouncing that properly.
Itineraries, that's correct.
Yeah, that's correct. Okay, so you have itineraries that you can develop that actually allow you to you know, make changes to your applications and your schemas without having any downtime. So typically with the traditional BizTalk, you know, a lot of ways people have designed it, if you had to update a schema or a map or something else, you know, you're basically going to have to bring the applications down to be able to update it. But with the ESP toolkit, you can actually do updates without downtime. And we have a paper on our blog that talks about how you can do that. Because obviously, when BizTalk is down...
We'll get a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, we can do that. And when BizTalk is down, a lot of the applications that are calling the on-ramps will also be impacted by it. So in a lot of enterprise mission-critical applications, they do not want, you know, a BizTalk to be down, even if you're doing an upgrade or any kind of maintenance. So by using the toolkit and itineraries, it does dynamic resolution of maps and you do not have, you know, tightly bound messaging to schemas.
Sure. So in the old days, you had to have a second BizTalk server running, which is expensive.
Right.
You know, you shut one down and bring the other one up.
Right.
So. Excellent. Now, there's a the latest version is 2016 of
BizTalk.
That's correct. So after all these years, almost 20 years, they're still updating. They're still adding new features to it.
That's correct.
What's the hot new thing in there?
The hot new thing is Logic Apps. So the connections.
Is that part of BizTalk or is that a separate thing?
Of BizTalk 2016 now. What they have is, it's actually the adapters to Logic Apps, not Logic Apps themselves. It's
okay.
The adapters
well, let's
to
start
apps.
With Logic Apps. What is a Logic App?
So Logic App is essentially allowing you to run an orchestration in Azure.
Okay.
It allows you to define something like a workflow in Azure. So you have triggers and you know that can process events, you know, like a message coming into a service bus queue or an HTTP post request coming in, you can capture that. So there are triggers, and then you can actually execute something like a workflow where, you know, you can do schema validation, you can, you know, use connectors to retrieve data from an on-premise SQL server. You can send a message to BizTalk on-premise to get the message enriched. You can call a software as a service application like Dynamics AX. You can send data over to Dynamics AX in case you want to save some information there.
Sure.
You can integrate with Office 365 all using Logic Apps and connectors. So it pretty much runs in Azure, and you can develop it using Visual Studio, or you
that
can develop it in the browser
like
itself.
That sounds a lot like BizTalk running in Azure.
Well, it is offering
some adapters.
Right, it's very similar, and it actually, from a integration developer point of view, it allows us to use the similar kind of patterns that we're used to in building integration solutions on BizTalk. Those similar patterns can be now used in Logic Apps because you have the same kind of concept where you have these different shapes that you can add. You have transformations, you can do validation, messaging. A lot of those now you can do using Logic Apps.
Oh, okay. So you can devalidate the schemas of the messages coming in. You can transform those using maps into other messages and send them out to some other endpoint. So why do we still need BizTalk?
Well, BizTalk has a lot of capabilities that probably are still not available. For example, one thing I can think of is, the ease with which you can, work with custom pipelines. You know, people who have done BizTalk are able to do this quite quickly with, their BizTalk environment. I mean, I'm biased because I've done a lot of BizTalk.
Sure.
But you can today pretty much implement similar solutions without using BizTalk. I can do, in the past, EDI was something that I would do with BizTalk. We have, the X12 schemas that are provided by Microsoft, Edifact, schemas provided by Microsoft, the custom pipeline components that Microsoft provides. But today, I don't need to use BizTalk. I can actually build EDI in the cloud using Logic Apps, integration accounts, and not bothering with BizTalk at all.
Okay, so for a lot of relatively simple solutions, we don't need the complexity of BizTalk.
You don't need the complexity of BizTalk.
We can just use this platform as a service in Azure.
Exactly.
Logic Apps.
You can use Logic Apps in Azure.
It's cheaper and it's simpler.
Right, and you don't have to build a SQL server. You don't have to build the BizTalk server, right? You can actually run directly in Azure.
Right.
And the other reason why people you know, may want to use BizTalk today. You know, some of our customers basically would say that, you know, well, you know, I'm running something that is, you know, mission critical to my business, and you know, we want to have the servers in-house.
Okay.
And if something goes wrong, my CIO is going to call me, and I need to get it fixed right away. You know, so I want to be able to have that control. But
sure.
I think over time, I think that is going to change, because I think when you know, people look at you know, how highly reliable running logic apps in Azure is. I mean, Microsoft has SLAs that, you know, I think are better than a lot of what IT departments provide.
Yeah,
you know, I think it's like 99%.
A lot of it's about trust.
No, people, exactly. It's
have to
take
learn
some time.
To trust the cloud.
Exactly.
Are there features? You mentioned custom pipelines. These are things that BizTalk can do that maybe Logic
but you
apps
can now, cannot. No, but you can actually now do some of that.
Oh, okay.
with Logic apps. You know, you have Azure Functions where you can actually do some of this, the same kind of things that we were doing before.
Ah.
So, you know, in my opinion, if I were to solve a customer's problem today, I would probably look at, you know, using Logic apps and Azure Functions and connectors to solve their problem. It's just that the customer has to be comfortable with you know, moving to a subscription-based model,
right,
versus one where they own the software licenses and they own the servers and, you know, they want to have everything in-house. So that, you know, if a customer is open to looking at a subscription model where you pay as you go, you scale as you need it, you know, you don't build this big infrastructure and then you see that the CPU is idle, you know, or 10% of CPU is being used.
Right.
You know, and you put all this upfront cost. Rather than that, I'd rather have them look at, you know, having it run on Azure, and, you know, Azure allows you to scale, like, you know, I mean, it's, you know, you pay as you go and you scale as you need it to scale.
Yeah, for batch processing stuff, that makes a lot of sense.
Exactly.
If you're only running something for a couple of hours in the middle of the night and those servers are sitting idle the rest of the time,
exactly,
you're way better renting than buying.
Exactly. And you know, if your business is doing well and you're getting more transactions being processed in your B2B environment, mm-hmm, that's good news. The customer is more willing to pay more because, you know, they're able to have, you know, add more, you know, customers. If it's a, you know, it's a logistics company and they're adding more and more customers.
Yeah, presumably you're paying more.
Your business
model
is also growing.
That's a sign that your business is booming.
Exactly.
Now this is an example. This is, you mentioned the word service, serverless.
Correct.
Before we started recording, is this an example of a serverless architecture?
Exactly.
I always put finger quotes around the word serverless.
It is. It is. Yeah. It is. There are servers in Azure, obviously. There's nothing, you know, running in the ether.
But we don't have to think about them, right?
We don't have to think about it. So when I develop, for example, if I were to develop an on-premise solution, you know, I have to talk to the customer, SQL DBAs, about SQL server, you know, how it's going to be set up, the storage, how it's going to be set up, how the LUNs are going to be set up, right? All of those kinds of things I have to worry about when I'm building an on-premise solution with BizTalk. Whereas if I'm designing something with Logic apps, I don't think about servers, right? I'm not thinking about, you know, how much of CPU and how much of, I don't think that, well, we still have to think about it in the Azure environment.
Right.
But
we don't have to think about the implementation.
Yeah, we don't really
have to
think
about
too much on the,
how am I going to cluster these servers?
Right.
You just say, I need more servers, and
well,
you add more.
Well, with sorry to go back to serverless, but with Azure Functions and Logic apps, again, I don't really think about servers anymore.
Oh, I should. Servers are because more instances, I think.
Right. It's just that you just build and deploy and it runs, and you know, pretty much the concept of a server doesn't seem to exist anymore.
Sure.
In that paradigm.
Yeah, more capacity is probably.
But you do have a concept of servers. If I want to run a BizTalk on a virtual machine in Azure. Right,
yeah.
Then you do have that server concept.
Got it.
So you can still do that. We can run, you know, BizTalk 2016 with SQL 2016 always on, completely on Azure.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's,
you know,
in a virtual
that,
machine, right?
That's also a new capability of BizTalk 2016, where you basically building your infrastructure entirely in Azure, and you have the always on capabilities of SQL, and you know, you're not building anything on prem. So you know, you would use something like ExpressRoute to have that VPN connection to your, you know, on-premise data sources.
ExpressRoute is what?
ExpressRoute is an Azure technology that allows you to, you know, build like a VPN connection to your on-premise data store. For example, you know, you might want to have Bistock and SQL always on in Azure, but then you want to be able to connect to your data sources, which are on-prem. Okay. You don't want to put them, you know, they might be containing, you know, information that you do not want to put on the cloud. So you can use ExpressRoute to actually make it look like it's a VPN connection.
So ExpressRoute is a secure high-speed pipe between your premises to the Azure Cloud.
Azure Cloud, right.
Interesting. All right. Very cool stuff. Before we wrap up, tell me about what happened today.
Yeah, today we had a fantastic event. Firstly, thanks to you, David, for helping us get this Microsoft
Chicago location. I'm glad we were able to do it. It was a lot of fun.
And we had, I think, almost 40 people showing up today for a global integration bootcamp. And this was the first time we've held it in Chicago. And in fact, first time this event was held simultaneously on March 25th, Saturday, 2017, in 13 countries around the world. And I think they were in some countries, you know, there were three or four, like in Australia, they were having it in three locations. Mm. They had it in New Zealand. In the US, we were having this in Redmond, Chicago, and New York.
Wow.
So this was a full day event where we had hands-on labs, where we took them through, you know, API management, service bus, logic apps, Azure Functions, Azure Storage. And I think the feedback we received, you know, from the attendees was that this was a useful event. Wish we had more time, but we've given them all the labs, all the solutions so that they can go back and work on it. But we were pleasantly surprised. I was expecting, you know, 5 or 10 people to show up for this, but we had, and especially on a Saturday, it's good to see 40 people show up.
That is great. It shows, I think, the passion of this community here. The folks at home, can they look at these online or these hands-on labs and try them? Are they available?
Yeah, I could send you the link. We have it available on my OneDrive, and I'll send you the link so we can put that along with this video.
Excellent. Jadev, thanks so much.
David, thank you very much. Appreciate your help, and thank you for the interview. You know, I think technology is great. You know, it's amazing how with technology we've been able to connect as friends. Because today with WhatsApp and Facebook and Twitter, we're able to stay in touch years after we stopped working together. So I think technology has really enabled our friendship to continue, and hopefully look forward to it continuing for many more years to come.